So what I want to talk about today may sound a little bit like a gripe and maybe a little bit critical. It might, if you only listen to the first few minutes, it might sound a little bit whiny. It's really not any of those things. It's an observation that I want to address, something that I see frequently, and it's not new, but I just feel like addressing it today. Something I see all the time, mostly online, occasionally in conversation, but mostly online. And then ultimately, I want to show you why I'm grieved at this and call all of us to a better way. I'm talking about this issue of self-promotion. It's a delicate thing, and I'm talking primarily self-promotion in the kingdom among Christians, and even more specifically, self-promotion of what we do in the kingdom, our ministry, the thing that we're doing for the Lord. Now, on the one hand, I want to recognize that there is a valid need to make people aware of what God has called us to do so that we can serve them. If there is, take for instance, the podcast. Every time we release a podcast on Tuesday, I will place a social media post on Facebook and Instagram. And the reason why, just to be clear, is I want people to listen to the podcast. And the motivation is not so people will listen to Jeff, but because what I'm speaking on the podcast, I'm speaking with the motivation of helping people in their journey with Jesus. Henceforth, I believe the podcast is spiritually beneficial to those that will listen to it. So there is a valid sense in which I promote it. I do not promote it to get followers. I do not promote it to go viral. I don't think a single podcast I've ever done has ever gone viral. If it has, I'm completely unaware of it. But there is, I think, a reasonable practice of saying, hey, we've just put out something. If you're interested in listening to it, here's what this episode is called, and here's where you can find it. What I don't believe in doing, and by the way, people do that all the time with their church services where maybe they're preaching in a city and they've got friends in that city. I don't have any problem with that. It's more of an awareness thing. It's more of a, hey, this is where I'll be. This is what I'm doing. This is what I have to offer. If you're interested, I just wanted you to know. And it doesn't carry the air of, hey, my identity's tied into how many people see this post or show up to my event. People promote themselves and their businesses. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's called advertising. It's just done in new ways now in the 21st century than it was, in the 19th and 20th century. And so people are advertising their services, advertising their businesses. That's how you get customers. And if you believe in the product that you're selling and you feel like you're offering something reasonable at a reasonable price and that's how you make your living, go after it. That's great. Where I'm struggling is when I am encountering Christians that, and it's always dangerous because you don't want to attribute motivation when we're not qualified to declare what someone's motivation is. We can't see motivation. We can only judge and try to use discernment. So I always want to be careful. But I can't lie to you. There's times where I'll see a post and I'm thinking, wow, that person really, really wants to be heard. That person really, really needs followers. That person is really trying to get money for their kingdom thing that they're offering people. And I'm not going to lie. There's times I'm like, man, why is that out there like that? And of course, you know what I do? I don't ever say a word because that's not my jurisdiction. It's not my responsibility. Paul once asked the question, who are you that judges another man's servant to his own master? He will stand or fall. His master is able to make him stand. So I don't feel like I need to ring somebody up and say, hey, that seemed a little tacky. You shouldn't do that. Let me tell you the specific thing that I want to address. Credentials. people's credentials. And where I have seen this play out the most, when somebody wants to assert their qualification, their experience, their education, their spiritual giftedness, their authority, it usually happens in the context of a conflict. And so what you see online a lot of the time is you see a person that is engaging someone with an opposite position. Maybe we're not even aware of who they're actually talking to, but I call it face hooking. You know, we got Facebook, but a face hook is like when you, boom, you use a post to smack somebody. And we've seen that. And I've been in more conflicts than I can count in my tenure as a kingdom leader, mostly in local churches, somewhat in the Christian education spot. And, you know, Transforming Truth is a ministry that we created in 2007 as the Lord led, and it reaches people really all over the world. And so you get pushback in email forms and comments on the YouTube page and things like that. And there's a lot of snarky stuff that is said and emailed and posted. And I've seen it on the ministry pages that I lead in, and I've seen it on other people's ministries. And what's sad is when you can tell it turns into pettiness, and somebody has to declare their right based on their credentials. How dare you say that to me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done in the kingdom? Don't you know how long I've been saved? Don't you know how long I've walked with God? Don't you recognize the things that I've accomplished in ministry? And you know, it gets a little bit petty, and it's a little embarrassing, to be honest with you. Now, what's very interesting to me is in our day, it's common for us to put out there the very best things about us and what we've done for Jesus. And we want people to see that. And it's the collective we. I'm not saying you and I'm not saying me, but I'm just saying this is common in the church. There's a whole lot of us being put forth prominently in the church. And in my opinion, not enough Jesus being put forth by the church. There's a lot of self-focus, self-promotion, self-advancement. A lot of jockeying for position, a lot of competition, a lot of, hey, I'm going to make myself look right by exposing how much I feel that other person or that other ministry or that other denomination is wrong. So I make myself look bigger by intentionally making others look smaller. That's kind of the vibe that you see out there a lot. And what's incredible to me is I was literally reading through 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians the other day, which in essence, if you're not familiar with 2 Corinthians, Paul is being forced by people at the church at Corinth. They had written a letter. He's hearing about how it's a divided church and they're factious, some like Paul, some like Peter, some like Apollos, some like other leaders, and they're very divided, and so they're kind of cliquish. And the ones that were railing against Paul had caught wind of it. So he wrote the book at 2 Corinthians, having to reluctantly defend his own apostleship. He had to defend his position in the kingdom. He had to defend his calling. He had to defend his character. He had to defend everything that he had done for the Lord, because he had a bunch of people that were sniping at him. And you, when you read the book of 2 Corinthians, you find out that he's correcting, he's rebuking, he's also inviting people to come into a place of unity as they repent. But by the time you get to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul is just having to say, look, in order to really clarify things for you, I'm going to have to play your game. Because all these super apostles that have come in after I left, Paul established the church at Corinth, turned it over to elders. That's what he did as an apostle. He moved on to another place. But then he finds out that some false apostles had come in after him to take authority in the church that he had established. And the only way they could do that would be by discrediting Paul. So when the work of the Lord began to suffer because Paul was being discredited, Paul said, okay, I'm not going to let the work of the Lord suffer. It's not about me being liked. It's not about me defending myself. It's not about me making sure I'm still everybody's favorite. Paul said, because of what these false teachers and apostles have come in and done, the work of the ministry and even some of the doctrine was being negatively impacted. So Paul said, I'm going to have to play at your game. And so in 2 Corinthians 11, he says to them, it's a long passage, but beginning around verse number 19, 20, somewhere around there, he begins to say, okay, if they're comparing me to them, I'll enter into that comparison contest. And what's interesting is Paul does something that very few people in our day do. When Paul wanted to legitimize his calling, his ministry, and his apostleship, he didn't talk about all the great things he had done. He didn't talk about all the churches he had planted. He didn't talk about how he had the power, apostolic power of God to put blindness on people, physical blindness on people that, opposed his ministry. He did that. He didn't talk about casting out demons or how many people he had healed or raised from the dead. He did not put his best stuff out there to vindicate his apostleship. Do you know what he did? He talked about his weakness and how much it caused him to depend on Jesus. He talked about the suffering that he had experienced and endured for the glory of Jesus. He talked ultimately about his intense weakness that God had left on him to keep him humble. And when I was studying that the other day, I mean, I've preached through the book of 2 Corinthians verse by verse, but I was impacted freshly with how the apostle, if he was around today and saw what was going on social media, and Paul had a Facebook account, or Paul had a Instagram account, or if he had TikTok, and you know, all the videos that are put out there, they're almost exclusively trying to make the people who are putting them out look awesome. And Paul would have gone the exact opposite way if he had even had any of these accounts. So this is what he says. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, and he's comparing, he's having to enter into the comparison contest. He's literally said already, I don't want to do this, but since y'all are talking like carnal people, I'm going to talk like a carnal person. And so these super apostles, these fake apostles, are putting all their credentials out there in order to make them look big so Paul will look small. And so he says, okay, if you want to go there, we'll go there. He says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors. Hold on. Paul's saying, hey, those guys are awesome servants of Christ. Let me just tell you something. Since you've forced me to defend myself, I'm a way better servant than them. And then he adds in there, I'm talking like a madman. I'm actually entering into this conversation like a foolish person. But then he does it. He says, here's how you know I'm real. I work harder, far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 different times I received at the hand of the Hebrews 39 whips on his back. 3 times they beat me with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times, that's stoned in the sense of being stoned with rocks, not the way we think of being stoned in our day. They stoned Paul outside of the city of Lystra. Many scholars think he died there. He says, 3 other times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day adrift in the sea, on frequent journeys, danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. So Paul is saying, hey, I'm not going to tell you my resume about all the demons I've cast out, all the healing miracles I've done, all of the revelations I've received. I'm not going to be able to go into detail about those, but I will tell you how my apostleship and servanthood's vindicated. My ministry has cost me immeasurably and left me very weak at different times. Isn't that incredible? He didn't even want to have the conversation. But if he was being forced into a spitting contest with these other guys, he said, they're going to put their best stuff out there to impress people. I'm just going to tell everybody what my ministry has cost me and how it has left me completely weak. Not strong, not impressive, not glorious, but weak and dependent on Jesus. He says, in toil, hardship, sleepless nights, many of them, hungry, thirsty, often without food, left out in the cold and exposed. And he said, and on top of all these other things is the daily pressure on me for my anxiety for all the churches. And then he adds this, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? He says, if I must boast, 2 Corinthians 11:30, if I must boast, I'll boast of the things that show my weakness. Powerful. So when you're trying to get there, especially those of you that may have a ministry calling on your life, what are you putting out there? Are you putting out the coolest, the latest, the most impressive? Are you saying, the only reason I need to advance is because my absolute weakness has made me so dependent on Jesus that I think his glory is resting on me. And so I want him to be glorified. And I don't want anybody to think more of me than I am. Therefore, if I'm going to boast, I'm not going to boast in how awesome I am. I'm not going to put it out on Facebook. I'm not going to make myself look so super cool, qualified, and competent. He says, I'm going to boast in how weak I am apart from Jesus. But thank God I'm not apart from Jesus. Jesus is my strength. Flies in the face of so much of what we see in this day. He literally says, if you're forcing me to boast, I'm not going to boast like y'all do. I'm not going to put a filter on everything. I'm not going to add super cool music to everything that I'm doing. I'm not going to, you know, give you a sound bite of the high point of my sermon so that you'll think all of my sermon is nothing but high points. I'm not going to put the crescendo note or the key change or the super cool lighting. I'm not going to do that. He says, if you really want to know why I can tell you that I am an authentic apostolic servant of God, it's because of what my ministry and my calling have cost me. It is because the weakness that ministry has left me in is an open door for Holy Spirit to show his strength through my weakness. And then he adds in verse number 31, he says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. I love the Apostle Paul. He would not get caught up in any of the hype that so many get caught up in today. So let me make some instruction and application available to you. Think about what you post and how you're representing yourself. I think I was guilty of some of this back in the day. I think there was a long season in my life where I just really wanted people to show up and hear my sermons. That's hard to admit, but I think that was in there. Now, I think my motivation wasn't like completely corrupt. I know that God uses the gifts he has given me, and I wanted people to benefit from it. But I had a couple of people challenge me over a course of about 2 or 3 years, probably less than 6 people, most of them independently of one another. And so I knew it was the Lord speaking, that too much of what I was doing for the Lord was connected to my identity. Or let me reverse that. My identity was too deeply connected into what I was doing for the Lord. And so I had to make some conscious decisions to check my heart frequently before posting something online or inviting people to the churches that I pastored or encouraging people to watch Transforming Truth. Even with this podcast, I'm just like, man, you know, I'm older now. I'll be 54 in June. It's hard to believe, but I still feel like I'm in my late 30s, early 40s. But I just don't want to, as we approach the end of the age, I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want you to be that guy or that girl that has to put themselves out there in such a way that it could end up being not authentic. If you're always putting your best pictures and applying filters and doing the text flying in, or cool text, or lights, or soundtracks, what y'all know the deal. Or if when you're cornered and opposed, that you've somehow cultivated the "how dare you challenge me, don't you know who I am" mentality, or "don't you know my calling, I'm not going to do that because it's not consistent with my calling. I don't want to go to, you know, that conference because they should be having me there." Or if you see somebody at a conference and you're wondering, why is that person up there doing it? I could do it better. Well, maybe it's because they've learned weakness. Maybe they've learned dependence. Maybe they've learned humility. Maybe they've learned to let God promote them. A lot of people expect to be anointed and promoted and elevated, and whatever their definition of successful is, you know, by the time they're 30, just because they have a call. It's very interesting. I would submit to you that Moses had a call and didn't enter into it until he was 80. Tried to enter into it when he was 40, but he did it in the flesh and in his own strength, and it cost him 40 years. You know, David had a call. He had a call and an anointing to be the king. He was a teenager when that happened. And he didn't really become fully king until he was 40 years old. Not over the entire kingdom. There were graduating points during the process, but the fullness of his calling and anointing didn't happen until he was 40. And then if we can go there, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, came to earth and, you know, basically sat in anonymity, working with wood as a carpenter till he was 30, and then only had 3 years of public ministry. The Apostle Paul, once he got saved, he spent many, many years before he became the foremost voice of Christianity. And I don't know what happened to us, but there's a whole lot of entitlement in the American church. Whole lot of gimme. I'm called, I'm anointed, I'm connected, gimme. And I'm thinking, as we approach the end of the age, gimme, the gimme spirit, maybe that's a different podcast, the gimme spirit is going to be suffocated out of the church. And guess what's going to stand forth with the anointing, with the promotion, and with the favor of God? It's those who have learned to wait upon the Lord, to serve joyfully in humility with zero recognition, those that have learned to embrace weakness. That, what do I mean by that? It just means you're convinced that you're nothing without Jesus, and you don't even want to risk taking one step forward without knowing that he's walking with you. So you lean hard upon the Lord. A lot of you may want Paul's anointing, or the anointing of people in the current church. You want their anointing, you want their favor, you want their following, you want their influence, you want their fruitfulness, you want their platforms. Can I tell you, if you hunger for the platform, you're already messed up. You got to kill that in you. God may give you a platform one day, but if you want the mic, if you want the platform, if you want the big song, if you want to testify, if you've got to have your prophetic voice heard, therefore, you know, you're putting out more content than you need to, because you need to keep people coming back and recognize that you're a prophetic voice. You've got the grasp of the Lord. Or you need a following. You need a small pond that you can jump into because you want to be a big fish in a small pond. You're in trouble. You got to repent of that stuff. You've got to be willing to say, "Lord, I just want to be faithful to you. And I'm asking you not to promote me above what my character can handle. And I'm asking you not to let me come behind my anointing by fear, reluctance, or some kind of feigned humility." Some people are like reluctant to step into their calling because they don't want to appear aggressive. I'm just like, man, can we quit thinking about what people are thinking and just learn to obey the Lord? And look, will you serve God joyfully if he never gives you a large platform or a platform at all? Will you serve in your family? Will you serve in your local church? Like if you're young and you're wanting and you truly believe you've got this call of God on your life, and you may very well have it, but let me tell you something. You can't wait until it materializes for you at level 10. You know what you need to do? Get in a local church and do whatever needs to be done to help others. Serve one of the leaders in the kingdom. Like one of the greatest ways to learn about ministry and to grow and mature is to serve a leader that's already doing it. And I think this idea that you can have a calling, a giftedness, an anointing, and make it all happen at level 10 in about 6 months is ludicrous. It'll crush your character. An anointing that is not sustained by character is a death sentence. And everybody longs for the anointing, but they don't long for the process by which deep Christian character is forged. And it takes a long time, and it takes a lot of weight, a lot of heat, and quite frankly, a lot of pain. That's why Paul said, if you want to know how I know that I'm a real disciple, I'm not going to talk to you about all the amazing, stunning, impressive things I've done. And he did those things. I mean, have you raised the dead? I haven't. I mean, he was healing people. I know it's God healing them, but Paul was the vessel. And Paul had supernatural revelation, caught up to the third heaven. And Paul said, yeah, quite honestly, what I'd like to do is tell you about the beatings, the stonings, the imprisonments, the long, painful journeys as we planted churches. They did it on foot most of the time. And then when they weren't on land, they were at sea and those boats sank, he said. So he was a castaway at times. Paul was constantly persecuted, constantly vilified, not only by his fellow Hebrews, but also by the Gentiles. I mean, people don't sign up for that stuff. We want that anointing, but we don't want the story that actually validates the anointing. Anointing doesn't just merely fall from heaven. It also bubbles up from the crucibles of life experiences that we go through. And you can't get all the necessary life experiences that produce a sustaining anointing. You can't get all that in 6 months. It takes years. So if you're young, please make up your mind today that you're going to be in it for the long haul. You're going to wait on God. You're not going to promote yourself on social media at a level that isn't actually true. Quit making yourselves try to look awesome. Stop it. Nobody's fooled. And you don't have to make other people look small in order for you to feel big. That's not something God's ever going to bless. And so when we think about this authentication of who we are and what we do, I would say make sure before you take another step that your number one unassailable commitment is Jesus Christ must get all the glory from my life. And when you start living that out, God will promote you to the level you need to be promoted. God will anoint you at the depth you need to be anointed. And God will advance you to the places where you need to be advanced. But if you do any of that stuff on your own, it'll be short-lived and embarrassing for you, sometimes devastating. Chew on these things, okay? We'll talk to you next time. Mavericks and Misfits.
Thank you for listening to today's Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps us to reach more people and spread the unfiltered message of Jesus. And don't forget that you can connect with Jeff's social media links at maverickmisfit.com. We look forward to reconnecting with you on our next episode.